All right, Rabbi Say, good morning. So we find ourselves this morning on the last daf of Bava Basra, Kuf Ayin Vav, 176. But we are picking up Emirat Hashem on Kuf Ayin Ham with Bays, 175b. And we're picking up with Ravu Shmuel. It's a 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11 lines up from the bottom. So most remember again, we're dealing with the fascinating discussion that was introduced to us yesterday in the beginning of the Gemara of the Machlokes between Ra'ula and Rabba about Shibuda Da'oraisa. Do we say that order, there's an automatic biblical encumbrance upon all properties when a person borrows money? Set became Machlokes Rabba and Rava. And the Gemara went ahead and kind of went on from that. Again, we will, Emirat Hashem, resolve that dispute, Emirat Hashem, today. And the Gemara then went on from that to discuss, ultimately, what types of loans create which type of encumbrance. Milva Bishtar, Milva Alpeh, a loan that's written in a document, a loan that's ultimately, again, verbal. What type of encumbrance do each of these types of transactions go ahead and create? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Tarvai, Rabbi Shmuel both said, Milva Alpeh, So Rabbi Shmuel both said that a Milva Alpeh will say a verbal transaction. One cannot collect that debt from Yarshim, from inheritors, nor can one collect that debt from Lukuchos. So Rabbi Shmuel, remember, understand what this means is the following. Essentially what it's saying is a Milva Alpeh, a verbal transaction, can be collected from the borrower himself, but Lamaisa, again, if cannot be collected from anyone other than the actual borrower. So if that individual died, right, and therefore again there are Yershim, so a Milva Alpeh is not collectible from Yershim. Or for that matter, again, the borrower sold off property, so that debt cannot be collected from any of the buyers. Why not? My taima, Shibuda Lav D'Oraisa. Because us, Rav and Shmuel both hold that Midda Oraisa alone does not create an encumbrance. Therefore, Halacha L'maisa, you could collect from the actual borrower himself, but you cannot collect from any of the secondary parties. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Lakish, Amri. So both say, Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon, Lakish both say, Darmit Harbayul, Milva Alpeh, So both Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish both say that no. A milva alpeh, we'll say a loan, meaning milva alpeh means a loan, not made in the document, but rather, again, a verbal loan, ultimately is collectible both from Yershim as well as from Lekuchos. My taima, Shibuda Doraisa. Ultimately, again, every single loan generates a biblical encumbrance, and therefore you can go ahead and collect from other individuals, as well, Lekuchos and Yershim. So both say, the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish is the same machlokes between Ula and Rabba. Do we say Shibuda Doraisa, Shibuda Nat Doraisa? Now what we're saying is the Nafkamina is Bin Amilva Alpe. So you're both saying, amazing enough, if you hold that Shibuda Doraisa, that's not just on written loans, but rather, again, that's even on verbal loans. So halacha l'maisa, again, the nafkamina will be, even on a milva alpeh, can you collect from the kuchos and from Yerushim? If you hold Shibuda Doraisa, the answer is yes. If you hold Shibuda in a Doraisa, the answer is no. So Meisi Abbasa, the Gemara is an interesting kasha. Hachofer bar b'shus harabim, a person goes in and digs a pit in the public domain. V'nafa alav shar v'hargo. Supposed to listen to this. So what happens? Reuven's digging a pit in the Rishus Arabim. And what occurs? A shar falls into the bar and kills Reuven. Supposed to say, what's the halacha? Pater. Pater means the owner of the shar is pater for killing Reuven. Because we'll say, obviously, this is a pretty straightforward case. Because the act of digging a bar in Rishus Arabim is an act of pshia, is an act of negligence, and therefore, again, Lemaisa, unfortunately, even though Reuven dies, Reuven is responsible for his own death, the owner of the shar is not. V'lo'od, not only that, Ela, Shemes Hashar, Yorshe Habar, Yorshe Bal Habar, Chayav Mashalim Dmei Hashar Lebailov. None of that, we'll say. But if it turns out that the shor ultimately dies as a result of its fall into the bar, so the Yarshe Bal Habar, Reuven's Yarshim, are obligated to pay back the value of the shor to the owner of the shor. Now, we'll say, now watch this. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Yarshe Bal Habar Chayav Mashalim. Alma, Milva Alpeh Govem in HaYarshim, the Kashil Rav Ushmo. So we'll say, the Gemara's understanding over here, that the debt, right, the debt that the Yarshe Habar, the Yarshe Balabar, owe to the Bal Hashor is no different than a milva al peh, a verbal obligation. A verbal obligation, yet you see from here that's what? That a milva al peh, meaning an obligation not recorded in a document, is in fact payable by the yarshim of the one who incurred that liability. So also that would seem to indicate to us that shibud daraisa, and that's a kashan Rav Shmuel that supports Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So the Gemara says, Amrav b'shamar b'din. No, it's different. But say this is a case of where the owner of the bar was judged to be liable while he was still alive. So the Mice again Bezin adjudicated the case. And they found him liable for the death of the shor before his own death. So one second, Bahargo Katan, it doesn't make sense. Because the way the Brisa read was how? Was that the shor fell on the balabar and killed the balabar and the shor. No, killed the balabar in the bar when the shor fell on him. Good. The balabar was killed in the bar by the shor. That's the idea. Balabar was killed by the shor in the bar. Vahargo Katani. So how can you say that Bezdim ultimately found him accountable? Actually, it says that he died in the bar. This is interesting. Amar Vadibar Abba, Sha'asua Trefa. The case of Osei is where he didn't die immediately as a result of the shor falling on him. Rather, again, he became a trefa. In other words, he was injured in some type of way from which he was definitely going to die as a result of his injuries, but he did not die just there. Vamarav Nachman Tani, Tana Mace Vikavro. So we'll say yet again, there's another reading of the Braise that says that if you have a case of where the shor fell on the Baal Habar, and the Baal Habar himself was actually buried in the bar, so it seems to indicate to us that Lamais, again, he was killed right there. Hasam, we're talking about a case over here where I will say the judges were right there by the edge of the pit as this situation occurred, and ultimately again they were mechayiv him under these circumstances. We'll say what the Gemara is just trying to figure out over here is a situation in which this case would not be a kasha on Rav and Shmuel. So the Gemara is coming up with a little bit of a convoluted case, but the Maisa, what it does is it prevents the particular Braisa from being a kasha on Rav and Shmuel. So we'll say, so what is the halacha? Top of Kof Ayin Vav. First line, Amar Papa. Rav Papa says, Hilchasa, Malva Alpe, Gove Min Hayarshim, Veino Gove Min Alakucho. So we'll say, so Rav Papa says, the halacha is that Milva Alpe, both say a verbal loan, meaning a loan that is not written into a document, but rather again it's just done al peh, govim in a yarshin. They both say it's collectible again from inheritors. So in this case over here, I lend Reuven $1,000. What happens if Reuven dies? So both say even though that loan was never recorded in a document, I have the ability to collect it from Reuven's heirs. However, Vein a government alakuchos, but Rav Osei, an unrecorded loan is not collectible from the kuchos. So, for example, if I lent Reuven $1,000 on the first of Tammuz, Reuven had property. He subsequently sold off that property. That debt was collectible on the first of Av. I come to him first of Av. He has no property. The only property that there is the property he sold off. I do not have the ability to seize that property from the kuchos. The Gemara says, why not? So we'll say Chazal instituted this way. I have the ability to collect an undocumented loan from Yarshim. Why? In order not to close the door in front of lenders. We'll say, what does this mean? Remember, as we said many times, Jewish lending is a not-for-profit venture. So by definition, if I'm the lender and you limit my ability to collect the loan, only while the borrower is alive, meaning should something happen to the lova. So that's it, I'm done. So we'll say that it's going to shut the door in front of lenders. People are not going to want to lend money if they know that if for some reason the lova suddenly passes away, I have no ability for it to collect. Therefore, again, halacha l'maaseh, in order to ensure that people will continue to lend money, therefore, again, even an undocumented loan is collectible from Yarshim. On the other hand, then a government alakuchos, but I will say if the loan is not recorded in a document, you cannot collect it from purchasers. Why? The less lekala. Because I will say that would be unfair to the purchasers. Because if someone goes ahead and purchases property from someone, The only way they know, the only way they know that ultimately, again, there's an encumbrance against this piece of land is Haribo Sai, if you have two factors. Number one, a shtar, but as we learned yesterday, shtar is not enough. What else do you need? You need edim on the shtar. Only if there's a shtar with edim, does a person know that indeed there is an encumbrance again, and can they protect themselves accordingly? And I will say, this indeed is halacha lemaisa. Obviously, again, if a loan was recorded in a document, it is collectible both from Yerushim as well as from Lekuchos, but if it is an undocumented loan, then halacha lemaisa, again, you could collect from Yerushim. That's in order to go eshlo tino delas bifnei lavin, in order not to slam the door in front of lenders, but you cannot collect it from Lekuchos, from purchasers, because such a document or such a transaction does not have the proper kol. They will say, how do we pass it in terms of Shibuda da'oraisa? So the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't speak about this explicitly, but the Rambam in Hilchos Malve Velova, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Dal, Chapter 11, Halacha 4, says the following, shakol, without going through the whole thing. He says, first of all, he says, Kol Malve Bishtar Gova Osa Min HaYorshim Min HaLekuchos, Umilva Alpe Gova Osa Min HaYorshim, Veina Gova Osa, Veina Gova Osa Min HaLekuchos. First of all, the Rambam quotes exactly as Rapapa just said. If the loan is recorded in the document, you can collect both from Yorshim and from Lekuchos. Undocumented loan, you could collect from Yorshim, but not from Lekuchos. The Rambam ends off by saying, Shekol Nichse HaLova, Tachos Shibud Hamalve Min HaTorah. So says the Rambam, because all of the property of the Lova, by definition, is subject to a loan, subject to a Shibud from the Malve, Midoraisa. We'll say, so the Rambam paskins, Shibuda Doraisa, that Midoraisa, every single loan creates an encumbrance against Rav Aryeh. I want to be clear about this. What this means is, Midoraisa, every single loan means, a Milva Alpeh and a Milva Bishtar. The only reason we say that a milva al-pad does not create the shibud rabosai is to protect the kuchos, is to protect purchasers. But lamaisa, if you're a purist, we would say that every single hava, every single debt, creates a shibud midoraisa. Fascinating. So the Gemara goes weiter. So what was the next case? Remember, we're just finishing out the Mishnah. We'll say, let's say again, I went ahead and I lent Reuven money, and I produce a shtar that's written in Reuven's own handwriting. And in that document it says that Reuven is chayiv to pay me $1,000. So we'll say, even though, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld, even though, halacha lemaaseh, again, you have a document that is written in Reuven's own writing, and we'll say, now remember, what doesn't it have? So you have a shtar, what don't you have? You don't have Edim. There are no witnesses on the shtar. Now, both said, I understand, producing a document that's in the handwriting of the Lova is powerful in that it solidifies the existence of the debt. However, again, because there are no Edim on it, therefore what? It doesn't create a kol. Because it doesn't create a kol, therefore what? You cannot collect from the chasim mishubadim. You can only collect from the chasim and echorin. Therefore, again, the Mishnah says, chayiv lo govim and chasim and echorin. Fine. Barmini rabba bar nosan me rabbi yochanan. Hochzak savyado be beizdin mai. We'll see what happens if beizdin certifies that indeed this is the handwriting of, of the Lova. What is the status of, we'll say, of such a shtar? Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Bo'amine is the third line from the top. Bo'amine Rava Bar Nosa Me Rabbi Yochanan Huchzak Savyado Bebeiz Din Mahu La'achar Zman Shemasar Lo Halove La'malva Ksavyado Shu Chayev Lo Mamon U'ba Bebeiz Din V'hode Befneim Shu Ksavyado V'kasu Lo Bebeiz Din Henpik Hu Anikra Ashar Tav V'kiyom Shaz. Let's say I lent Reuven $1,000. Reuven produced a shtar in his own handwriting that says he owes me $1,000, and Bebeiz Din certified that shtar. That shtar is a henpak and a shtar. That's a certified document. Mai. Look at the Rashbam. What's the mai? Mi arminan harihu me'ato kishtar sheyishbo edim. V'yigba min mishibadi d'achrayis ta'as sofru. T'chol shtar malve o'makira shechos min bo edim go mishibadi kilu kasavan achrayis. O'dilma kim shtar eino mo'el loshum shtar. El lachziko bebezin l'kmoshay mikodim. L'chin shilu yamusu ha'idim olovis. So listen to this. So the shayla is, if Bezin goes ahead and certifies the shtar written in the hand in the handwriting of the Lova, does that certification make it like a shtar that has edim on it, and therefore again I the lender can now collect from the chasim mishubadim, or no? even though the shtar is certified, it is still only a shtar written in the handwriting of the Lova, and therefore only entitles me to collect from the Chasin B'nei Chorin. That's the Shaila. So the Gemara says, Amalei, I say, said to him, Afapi Shehochsak Sagyad Bebezdin Eino Gova Ela Min Chasin B'nei Chorin. So again, he answered, even though the shtar has been certified in Bezdin, nevertheless, I will say, because there are no Edim on that shtar, the most I, the lender, could collect from is what? Nechasim b'nei chorin. In other words, we'll say that lemaisa certification of the lova's handwritten shtar. Even though, again, he's admitting to the debt, Basin has certified the document, what entitles you to collect from nechasim mishubadim, which sold property, we'll say, is what? Is the kol generated by the signatures of the witnesses. Because if there are witnesses who sign on the shtar, we'll say, then what we understand is that the purchaser knew that this was encumbered property, he chose to buy it anyway, and he bought it with the risk of knowing that it could be repossessed in satisfaction of the outstanding debt I have against the borrower. If, however, again, if there are no witnesses signed on it, there's no call. If there's no call, then the lekuchos, the purchaser, could have never known about the encumbrance on the land, and as such, Chazal felt it would be inappropriate to hold, or I should say, to put the buyer at a disadvantage for something that he could not have known, and therefore not have protected himself against. Master Rabbi Chama raised the kasha, Shlosha gittin psulim, v'mnisei savlat kosher. So it says, so there are three gittin that are puzzle. Over here we're talking about at first, regular gittin, like gittin noshim. There are three gittin that are puzzle, but if a woman went ahead and remarried based on one of these gittin, the offspring will be kosher. We'll say, what are the three cases? Ve'elohim, ksav b'ksav yado ve'in alav edim. We'll say, case number one is where the get is written in the handwriting of the husband, but there are no witnesses who sign on it. Now the Rashbam points out over here, he says, it's almost right across from the Rashbam, ve'in alav edim, ela shenim shala b'fnei edim, de'edim esira karsi. So this is not a situation where there are no witnesses who sign on the get, but there are witnesses who witness the delivery of the get. So that's case number one. Case number two, Yeshalav Eidim Ve'in Bozman. Witnesses sign on it, but there's no date. There's no date. So we'll say, you need a date on the get, but b'dieved, if the get didn't have a date, then she remarried based on that get. So Allah HaMais, the children will still be kosher. Next case, Yesh Bozman Ve'in Bo Ela Eid Echad. Or there is a date, but what? There's only an Eid Echad. So we'll say in all of these cases, Hare Eilu Shloshe Gittin Psulim V'mniseis Havlad Kasher. All of these are Gittin Psulim, but if a woman remarried based on any one of these three Gittin, ultimately, again, the children from the second marriage will not be Mamzer and they'll be Ksherim. Fine. Rabbi Lazar says, Afapi She'in Alav Eidim Ela Shenasnu La Bifnei Eidim Kasher V'govim Enechasim Meshubadim. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Lazar comes along and says that even if there are no witnesses, but a document was given in front of witnesses, the document is kosher, and one could collect from encumbered properties. Now, listen, hey, what does this mean? Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. V'govam v'nechasim meshubadim, kilomar v'mshtar malvehu. So, we'll say, Rabbi Lazar is changing things up a little bit. And Rabbi Lazar says, so let's for a moment, we'll say, generally we assume that whatever works by gittin, by get isha, works by stam shtaros as well. So Rabbi Lazar says, what we've established in a get isha, Rabbosai, is that even if you don't have witnesses who sign on the document, but what? You have witnesses who witness the giving over of the document, that creates, that allows for the effectiveness of the document. Rabbi Lazar says, by the way, if that's true by a get, it's also true by a loan. How so? Now, again, look at the Rashbam, the government of Chasim Meshubadim, Kilomar, Vimshtar Milvahu. But let's say it's a loan document. Osa Shtar HaKosov B'Ksav Yado, Ve'ein Bo Eidim, Ela Shemasr B'Fnei Eidim, Govem in Chasim Meshubadim. But Rabbi Lazar will say that therefore, if you have a loan document, which is, let's say, written in the handwriting of the Lova, and there are no witnesses who go ahead and have signed on it, but there are witnesses who witness it, that would allow the malva, the lender, to collect from nechasim mishubadim. V'hachi mefarish Rabbi Yochanan alibid Rabbi Lazar, shafilu b'shar shtaros kolam nechasim mishubadim, edim mesir Rabbi Ovad, almo, hotzi alav ksav yado shu chayev lo, umasro b'thnei edim, govam mishubadim v'choshkin uksu b'ezim. So what's the Yehudi Gemara saying? So Rabbi Lazar says over here like this, based on what we just learned, you told me that if you have a get written in the handwriting of the husband, even if there are witnesses who aren't signed on it, but there are witnesses who witness the giving over of the document. That is a valid get. So Rabbi Yosef therefore says it would be the same thing in the halva. If I lend Reuven $1,000 and Reuven handwrites, he writes the document in his own handwriting that he owes me $1,000, and that document is given over in front of witnesses, I should be allowed to collect from the chasim mishubad. Fine. But say, using that logic, the Gemara wants to suggest that why shouldn't that work in the case we just said above? What was the case above? I produce a handwritten document, right? I produce a document in the handwriting of Reuven, the borrower, that says that he borrowed $1,000 from me. I present that in front of Beis Din. Reuven says, yes, that is my handwriting. I borrowed the money from Silber. This whole thing is done in front of Beis Din. Beis Din certifies the document. We'll say that certification should be no different than what? The handing over of that document in front of two witnesses. What did we just say? If you hand over the document in front of two witnesses, you could collect from the chasim mishubadim. If that's the case, then in the case we just espoused before, the case of the Mishnah, when ultimately I produce the document in the handwriting of Reuven and it's certified by Beis Din, that should be like it's being given in front of two witnesses, and I should be able to collect from the chasim mishubadim, from the Kamar properties. Yet, the Mishnah says I could only collect from the chasim nechorin. What's happening over here? To which the Gemara, I'll tell you the difference. Shiny Hassam, the case of also that we just quoted, is different. Why? The Mishas Ksivahu, the Shabbat Nafshei. I will say, this case is different. What does this mean? The case that Rabbi Lozer quoted, I will say, of where I'm writing a document, I'm not having witnesses sign, but I'm going to hand it over in front of witnesses, is a different kind of case. Why? Because I will say, my intention from the beginning of that circumstance was to hand it over in front of witnesses. Because that was my kavana from the beginning, so it creates the encumbrance. Masha'inkin, in our case over here, Abosai, the certification that is occurring in Beis Din is happening after the fact. Because it's happening after the fact, therefore it cannot create the shibud on the chasim mishubadim. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Shani hasam de b'shas ksivahu de shabed nafshei kishenichtav ashtar nichtav kidei lemasra b'fnei edim. When I'm writing the shtar, I'm writing it with the intention of giving it in front of witnesses. Shehu edei mesira b'makom edei chasimah. I'm creating a situation where the edim mesir, the witnesses who witness the giving over of the document, are in the place of the witnesses who sign on the document. Hilchach kevan de Rabbi Lazar edim mesira karsim. Therefore, Rabbi said, because according to Rabbi Lazar, Edei Mesira Karsi, therefore it's as if the document itself has signatures. Aval anan mi baylon, b'holti alav ksavyadu ba'alma, sheshmo shalo v'chasumbo, shezemo shalo b'makom hoda, shayuch alachzor v'lichbar ba'olom ha'parati. Rabbi said, the idea over here is, I'm just producing a shtar. And after the fact, there's a certification. When it's an after-the-fact certification, that cannot create a lien against the chasim mishubadim. It only creates a lien against the chasim nechorin. I will say, that indeed is halacha l'maisa. So if I go ahead and I produce a document, handwritten document, right in the handwriting of the lova, of the borrower, that says that he borrowed $1,000, even though I go ahead and certify this document in Beis Din, but say all that entitles me to collect from is nechasim b'nei chorin, not nechasim mishubadim. Fine. Next. Arif hayotze la'achar chitum shtar. So remember again, the next case in the Mishnah was that if you have a case where there's a shtar, right, there's the loan document, and after the signatures of the witnesses, the arif, the guarantor, puts in writing his guarantorship. Nevertheless, I will say, what did the Mishnah say? I, the lender, can only collect from the chasim b'nei chorin, unencumbered property of the arev. I cannot collect from his nechasim mishubadim. Now, the logic behind that seems to be why? Because lemaisa, his signature, or I should say, his signature is after the signatures of the witnesses. Had it been before the signatures of the witnesses, then the signatures of the witnesses would go on the guarantorship as well, which would make him chayiv for nechasim mishubadim as well. Now that it's afterwards, he's only on the hook for nechasim menechorin. Says the Gemara, Amarav, kodem chitum shtaros kavam menechasim mishubadim. La'achar chitum shtaros govam menechasim menechorin. So as I said, the Gemara Surat Rav says that whenever the guarantor signs before the signatures of the witnesses, in other words, that his promise of guarantorship is included as part of the document, then Einachinami, even the guarantor, will have a lien against his nechasim mishubadim for the repayment of the debt. But if he signs after the signatures of the witnesses, then he's only on the hook for nechasim b'nechorin. Zimnin amarav, but yet other times Rav said, afilu koden chitum shtaros eina gova elam nechasim b'nechorin. Yet other times Rav said, that even if the guarantor signs above the signatures of the witnesses, there are times where he will still only be chayiv with his nechassim and echorin, but his signature does not create an encumbrance against his nechassim mishubadin. So Gemara says, kashu d'Rav ad-Rav. So Rav is contradicting himself. We'll say, so which one is it? Is it that if he signs before the signatures, the guarantor is chayiv even when nechassim mishubadim? Or do we say no, that if he goes ahead and he's, even if he signs above the signatures, he's only chayiv for nechassim and echorin? Which one is it? To which the Gemara says, kashu, is that a contradiction? Had the kasev ve ploni arev, had the kasev ve uploni arev. But listen to how profound this is. The power of one letter. So the Gemara says, it depends how he writes it. If it's written in the shtar, ploni arev, so I'll say, or is it written in the shtar, uploni arev. So I'll say, that vav is what's called the vav hachibor or the vav hamosif. So if it says uploni, let's say, we'll say you have a loan document. Loan document says that I lent Reuven $1,000, and then it says uploni arev. Uploni arev means what? That statement, uploni arev, is part of the preceding section as well, which means that the obligation of the arev is part of the formal loan agreement. If that's the case, when it says uploni arev, and then the signatures sign, then the arev is meshubad, even with his nechassim meshubadim. There's a lien even against his encumbered property for repayment of the debt. However, if it just says ploni arev, just a statement, so and so is the arev, but without the vav achibor, without the connecting vav, then what? Then lamaisa, that is considered to be a self-contained section in the shtar. Well, say if it's a self-contained section in the shtar, even though the witnesses are signing below that statement, the witnesses may or may not be attesting to the veracity of that claim, and therefore, again, Rav will hold that in that case, the arev is chayiv, but he's only chayiv nechassim, meaning his obligation only devolves upon his nechassim ben echorin, not upon his nechassim mishubadim. For Rabbi Yochanan says, echad zeh ve'echad zeh, eino gove ela min nechassim ben echorin. What's Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that no, in any of these cases, an arev is never chayiv, meaning an arev's obligation never devolves upon his nechassim mishubadim, only devolves upon his nechassim ben echorin. Va'afal gav dikasev bei uploni arev. Even though what? Even though halach lemaisa it says uploni. So we'll say Rabbi Yochanan holds that in general the nature of arvos, the nature of a guarantorship, is that your guarantorship is limited to the property that you own. It is never devolves upon property that you sell after the date that you become a guarantor. Masiv Rava. Rava raises a question. Listen to this case. It's an interesting situation. So a husband is divorcing his wife, and in the document, after it's written that Reuven is divorcing his, we'll call Yaakov is divorcing his wife Leah, it says, and Yaakov said to Leah, please send my best to Yosef. Alright, why? Doesn't matter. This is written in the get, Shela Shalom. Right, the need for the wife to send the husband's greetings to someone. So it says, so now what happens? After that statement of greetings in the get, the Edom signed beneath that. So Rava says, such a get is possible. Why? Because we'll say, maybe the witnesses are not signing on the get. Maybe the witnesses are signing on what? Maybe their signature is only on the She'elas Shalom. So the Gemara says, so I learned from Rabbi Yochanan the following qualification. She'ilu pasul, v'she'ilu kasher. Everything depends on how it's written in the get. If it says, she'ilu, send my best, or inquire about the welfare of so-and-so, so it's a self-contained statement, then Rabbi will say, then what? Then we're concerned that the witnesses maybe are just signing on that, but not signing on the actual essence of the shtar. Vishailu. But if it says, and inquire about the welfare, so again, that's the vav hachibor, that's that connection vav. So the she'ilah shalom is related to the get proper, then the get is kasher. Because then we assume that the witnesses are signing on the entire get. Hachinami, so again the Gemara says, so too over here, the kasef ploni arif. So you're right, the case over here, where the Gemara says that ultimately again, that the arev is only going to be chayiv for nechassim b'nei chorin, not nechassim meshubadim, is where it says ploni arev. So and so is the guarantor without the vav, without the connecting vav. So if that's the case, Rabbi Yochanan is saying the same thing as Rav, which the Gemara says, you're right. Ema v'chein am Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, Ena chinami, you should say that Rabbi Yochanan and Rav ultimately, again, are not disagreeing. So both say, and indeed, this is halacha l'maisa, that if the guarantorship is written in the shtar, so whether or not the guarantor is going to be chayiv, just for his nechasim and nechorin, his nechasim mishubadim, depends all on one letter, how it's written. If it's just written ploni arev, that's a separate, distinct statement that may or may not be solidified by the signatures of the witnesses. However, if it says uploni arev, right, you write the loan document, and then it says, and ploni is the guarantor, in which case the uploni, that guarantorship, is connected to the actual body of the shtar, then enochinami, the obligation of the guarantor, devolves not only upon his nechasim b'nei chorin, but also upon his nechasim mishubadim. Maisa ubalif ne Rabbi Yishmael. So also remember again, we then had the Mishnah then had the following situation. The Mishnah spoke about again, so Maisa ubalif ne Rabbi Yishmael, v'amar govam nechasim b'nei chorin. So also remember again, there was a situation where something came up in front of Rabbi Yishmael, and Rabbi Yishmael said that you could only collect from the nechasim b'nei chorin of the Arev. So remember again, then Benanis came along and said that you don't collect from the Nechasim and Nechorin, Nechasim and Mishavim. Benanis, I will say, is the one who said that the only time a guarantor becomes a guarantor is when it's clear that the money was only lent because of his involvement. So we'll say, if the guarantor comes on the scene after the money was already lent, then the guarantor is not going to be chai because the transaction took place without him. So this is the Chumash Machlokes, Rabbi Shmuel and Benanis. Rabbi Shmuel indicates that the guarantor would be chayiv, even if what? Even if he comes in after the fact. Benanis holds that no, only if the money was lent because of the guarantor is a guarantor chayiv. If the guarantor comes in after the fact, he will not be chayiv. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Bar Chanan Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Afa Pisha Kilis Rabbi Shmuel es Benanis, even though Rabbi Shmuel praised Benanis, Halacha Kamoso, the halacha indeed follows Rabbi Yishmael. Halacha Kamosa Rashbam says, Rabbi Yishmael to go that minichasim b'nei chorin. That Jabosa, in a case where ultimately again you have an arev, you have a guarantor, even though that guarantor may have come in when? Later on, after the transaction was already made, after the loan was already made, the guarantor will still be, or the guarantor will be on the hook. He guarantees the loan. But again, his obligation is limited to nechasim b'nei chorin, not nechasim mishubadim. So the Gemara says, Iboilu Bechanuk Ma. So let's listen to this. So I should say, Bechanuk Ma the Amar Rabbi Shmuel. So we'll say, remember again, Benanis gave an extreme case. Benanis' case was, I walk into the shuk. And what happens? I see Reuven choking Yaakov. I see Reuven choking Yaakov. Because why is he choking Yaakov? I'll say, because he wants money, right? He wants Yaakov to give him back his money. And what happens? I say, Reuven, leave Yaakov alone, hanachlo, vani etein lecha. Leave him alone, I'll repay your debt. In other words, I'll become the guarantor on the debt. So we'll say, Benanis says, in such a case like that, I'm obviously not the guarantor. There's no obligation upon me. I was just saving Shimon's life, right? I was just saving Shimon's life, and there's no obligation upon me. What does Rabbi Shmuel hold in that case? So we'll say, did I create an obligation to be the guarantor on this debt or not? So Tashma, Dan Rabbi Yaakov, and Rabbi Yochanan, Chalok Hay Rabbi Shmuel af bechanok. So we'll say Rabbi Shmuel argued in Benanis, even in the case where what? Reuven was choking Shimon, I stepped in to save Shimon's life. Benanis says, I'm not chayiv as a guarantor. And Rabbi Shmuel said, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I am an obligated guarantor. So the Gemara says, halacha kamoso, in halacha kamoso. So does the halacha follow Rabbi Shmuel or not? So Tashma, dechi asa Ravin, am Rabbi Yochanan, chalok hay Rabbi Shmuel af bechanok, v'halacha kamoso. That Rabbi Shmuel disagreed with Benanis, even in the case of where Reuven was choking Shimon, and Rabbi Shmuel held that I'm chayv to be a guarantor, even in that case. V'halacha kamoso, and the halacha follows Rabbi Shmuel in that case. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, chanuk v'kanu miyado, mishtabit." So if I walked into the following case, Reuven is choking Shimon, and I go ahead and I agree to be the guarantor, and I do kabbalah sakinyan. Right, I do like a kinyan sudra. I make a kinyan to solidify my relationship as the guarantor. Then my guarantorship is binding. Mechlal, the arev ba'amalo ba'i kinyan. They both say, this seems to indicate that what? That under normal circumstances, I do not need a kinyan in order to become a guarantor. I don't need some type of kinyan, I don't need like a kinyan, so there's some other type of kinyan, in order to become a guarantor. And they both say, this disagrees with Rav Nachman. What is Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, we'll say, I'm a base. Rav Nachman says, Arev the base, din hudalo by kinyan, haba'alma by kinyan. That Rav say, ultimately, again, Rav Nachman says, that an Arev in base, din. Rav say, now, Arev de Bezin, if you take a look at the Rashbam says over here, Arev de Bezin lo ba'i kinyon, te ba'hi hana te kamehemni le Bezdin, gamar umeshabe nafshe. So we'll say, well, an Arev in Bezin is where either Bezin asks me to step in to be an Arev Bezin, somehow asks me to step in and guarantor the situation, or I'm accepting this guarantorship in the presence of Bezdin. But the idea is that they both say, when Bezdin believes me as a guarantor, so that's a big covenant. So you have to understand something. There's a part of this that I think I mentioned, but I'll reinforce it now. Being a guarantor, we'll say, is a very chashava thing. Why is it a chashava thing? Because if Reuven is willing to lend Shimon money on the basis of my guarantorship, then what? That means that Lamaisa, I am a very trustworthy person. So we'll say, so that in and of itself is a big covet. Is a big covet to me. All the more so the Gemara says is when Beis Din either asks me to step in, or Beis Din ultimately again believes my ability to be a guarantor, that's also, about say, an incredible form of covet. So under normal circumstances, if I become an Arev in Beis Din, so about say, this is Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, if I become an Arev in Beis Din, so I don't need an additional kinyan. Why? Because the fact that Beis Din believes me to be the Arev, that's enough to solidify my relationship as the Arev. Ha ba'alma, ultimately again, but I will say, just ba'alma, just stam, boy kinyan. So we'll say, in a regular guarantorship, you have to be kinyan. So we'll say, we'll read to the end, even though we're going to be misayim it tonight, but we'll finish off the sugya, ve'il chasa, but we'll say, what is the halacha? Bishas matan ma'os lo boy kinyan. So we'll say, halacha l'maisa, the Gemara says, if you go ahead, and you are the Arev, at the time the loan is occurring, lo boy kinyan. You do not require a kinyan. I will say, take a look at the Rashi for just a moment. Actually changes it. So he says, listen to this. If I agree to become the guarantor at the time the loan is made, so in other words, if I'm there at the time of the act, I'm the guarantor at the time of the actual loan, there's no additional Kabbalah's kinyan. Why? There's a logic to this. Why? Because I'm part of the transaction. I am part of the initial transaction. And the Rashbam just adds in over here, by the way, if my guarantorship is included in the document before the signatures of the witnesses, number one, I don't require an additional kinyan. Number two, my guarantorship devolves upon both my nechasim and echorin and my nechasim meshubadim. Acher matamos, however, again, if I step into the transaction after the fact, the money has already been lent. And then I become a guarantor after the loan has already been made, then boy kinyan. Then Rabosa, again, I do have to kinyan, which Rabosa makes sense. If I'm coming in after the transactional fact, I'm coming in after the money has already been lent, then halacha l'maaseh, in order to insert myself in this relationship, I require kabbalah sakinyan. Arev de Beis Din, however, Rabosa, if I'm an arev, ultimately, again, take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Shalom b'shas matan mos by kinyan v'afilu chasim b'soch hashtar v'chasim ma'achar chitfai. So, however, arev de Beis Din, we'll say if I'm an arev because either I'm becoming an arev in front of Beis Din or Beis Din asked me to be involved, lo by kinyan. We'll say in that case there is no kabbalas kinyan. Why? The ba'hi hano de mehemen lei gamar umeshabed lei. Because we'll say that hano, the knowing that Beis Din believes me, ultimately again is enough to allow me or enough to make me obligate myself in the repayment of this debt. We'll say we'll save the hundreds of merits Hashem for tonight for the siyum. We'll say just as although this is not the official close of Basra, but an incredible yashar koach to all of those Baruch Hashem. This was not an easy mesechta. 176 blot. And I know there might be some among us who perhaps didn't get an opportunity to learn every single blot of Baruch Basra, but just know, we'll say, you know, the incredible part about being a chelek of a holy chevra like this is that there's a din. We'll say, what were we just learning about? We're learning about an arif. We're learning about an arif, a guarantor. And again, of course, this brings to mind of Kol Yisrael Arifim Zeh Bozeh. When you each and every one of us is a guarantor for the other. And the beautiful part is that when you're part of the chevra, when you're part of such a holy group like this, like this shir, like this chabura, so even if you didn't get a chance to do every single daf, the fact that you're part of a chevra that did do every single daf, it's as if you went ahead and you did every single daf. Now, you can't, I want to qualify that. That doesn't work for not waking up in the morning, right? It doesn't work. Somebody woke up, says as if I woke up. No, we'll say, being present, that's everybody's. But the idea is when you're part of a chevra, we'll say, we finish this together. So even if some of us have a couple of blot that we have to make up here and there, the chabura finished it. The chevra finished it. The shir finished it. And I will say, what an incredible zechus. Shechiyonu v'kiyimanu v'giyonu l'azman hazeh. What an incredible zechus that we have the opportunity to send such a beautiful mesechta. And don't worry, because I know some of you are worried that we got to the end of the road. There's more. There's more. There's so much more gemara. And I will say, tomorrow Sanhedrin. I just want to make a suggestion. Suggestion is that if you missed some dapim in Bava Basra, be mekabel not to miss one in Sanhedrin. To be honest, there's never an excuse to miss a daf. There's never an excuse. Even if you can't make it to the shir one day, and even to miss the shir, unless you're out of time, we'll say, you're tired, you're not tired, push yourself. Push yourself. There's so little mesiras nefesh we have for our Yiddishkeit these days. We're not being persecuted, Baruch Hashem. We don't have to avoid pogroms on the way to on the way to the shir. What's the mesiras? A little less sleep. Push yourself, because it's worth it. Push yourself, because the peros of being able to mesayim mesechta with the mesiras nefesh of waking up early in the morning of Bosai is a spiritual accomplishment that will give siyat d'shmaya to you and to our mishpachos. Don't miss a daf, because even if for some reason you can't make it to the shir one day, there's a podcast. And even if it's not just a podcast for this shir, there is no shortage of daf yomi shiurim on the internet. Baruch Hashem, Art Scroll is wonderful, Koran's wonderful. There's no excuses for us to miss one word of Gemara. So as we enter into Sanhedrin and Yerzah Shabbosai, let's be makabal to do it shtark. Let's be makabal to do it in a way where there's zrizos, where there's hislavos. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult to feel hislavos at 5:45 in the morning. I absolutely know that. This is my fourth cup of coffee. Sometimes it's difficult to feel that hislavos, absolutely. But you know what I'm saying? HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that we want Him, that we want His Torah. Ribbono Shel Olam sees that I don't want to just learn Sanhedrin, I want to own Sanhedrin. I want it to be mine. I want it to be my best, and I want it to be my chavusa. That I don't just want to learn Gan HaEmuna, but I want to live Emuna. The Ribbono Shel Olam will help us with that. The Ribbono Shel Olam will be our partner. The Ribbono Shel Olam will be our shutaf. It'll make it happen the same way we've reached the end of this beautiful journey. And again, we're not making this, we'll make this soon tonight, the Mirat Hashem. I will say, tomorrow is a brand new, beautiful, magnificent day. Tomorrow starts Sanhedrin. Tomorrow starts a new chapter. Tomorrow starts a new Mesechta. Tomorrow starts a new lease on life. It's an incredible zchus to Mirat Hashem. Look forward to starting that day with you. And Mirat Hashem will be zocha to finish Bava Basra, finish Sanhedrin, to finish Gantz, Shas, and Anatzchus. Halavai, especially in the zchus of finishing a Mesechta during these incredibly heavy days. Maybe zocha Mirat Hashem Nechash Baruch Hu should see how much we love His Torah. He should see how much we love Him. He should see how much we love each other. And Anatzchus, maybe zocha to be makabel the Pnei HaMashiach Mehira B'Yamin. Amen.